We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Pony Express.
Jason Garrett, Cowboys coach. Maybe a lame duck going into the final year of his contract, and from rookie minicamp, reminiscing about Dak Prescott, who burst onto the scene. Went 13-3 that first year as the Cowboys starter, lost a thriller to the Packers in the playoffs that year, and has struggled to recapture that. Pretty good year for Prescott in 2018, 2017. There was definitely a sophomore slump. And now the Cowboys are in a position where they are figuring out just how much to pay Dak Prescott. They have committed to him as the franchise quarterback in terms of what they've said, how vociferous, how strong Jerry Jones and his son Stephen Jones have been vocal in their support of Dak Prescott. And now it's time to back it up with the money. Show me the money to now make it a situation where actions speak louder than words. And that's where we're going to start this hour on Mother's Day. Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio. On radio.com, Sirius XM channel 206, 855-212-4CBS is the telephone number. That's 855-212-4227. Dak Prescott, not the only Cowboy offensive star who's in need of a new deal. Amari Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott are also in line for contract extensions. Now, this has become a thing, and I'm shocked that so many people have taken the other side of this argument that I'm about to put before you here. There is a growing, burgeoning belief here that the Cowboys would be better off giving Ezekiel Elliott the money, telling Dak Prescott, hey, here's kind of a middle-of-the-pack offer. We're not going to give you $30 million a year. We're going to give you something between 20 and 25. Take it or leave it. If you don't want it, then we'll franchise you next year if you have an insane season. If you don't, well, then see what you can get in free agency. We'll try to find another franchise quarterback, a cheaper option in the draft, and we'll build around the other pieces on our team. We'll build around Leighton Van Der Esch on defense. We'll build around our offensive line. We'll surround our quarterback with a great running game and ask him to be more of a game manager type quarterback. And that's what I think a lot of people believe Dak Prescott is. Somebody who's not going to make the big play, who is never going to develop into a quarterback who puts up big numbers, that he really is what he is here, a quarterback who is risk-averse, who isn't going to make the big mistake in a game, but also isn't going to lead you on 75-yard drives and sling it and, you know, evolve or develop into what Russell Wilson is today as the NFL's highest-paid quarterback, that there's no shot Prescott makes the jump from dynamic dual-threat quarterback to great pocket quarterback, that this is pretty much it with Dak Prescott, that there's not a high ceiling. He walked into the league as a good quarterback, and he's not going to be much more than that. To which I say, by that logic, the Seahawks would have spent a bajillion dollars on their defense. They would have kept Earl Thomas around. They would have kept Richard Sherman around. They would have kept Michael Bennett around. They would have told Russell Wilson, this is our ultimatum, take it or leave it. The Seahawks would have paid Marshawn Lynch enough so he would have avoided that one-year retirement, never goes to Oakland. You know, they would have spread the wealth around, and the Seahawks would be up you-know-what creek if they had taken that philosophy and put it into play if they had said, Russell Wilson, we're better off with the defense than you as the franchise quarterback. That team by now would be a wasteland and a dump if they had taken that route. Instead, even though Russell Wilson had won a Super Bowl with one of the best defenses in NFL history, the Seahawks have now bet twice that he was going to take a leap, that he was going to get better, that he was going to improve as a quarterback, and he's done exactly that. So for me, if I'm a Cowboys fan, Seattle is the model here. Quarterback picked in the middle rounds who can use his legs, who can get outside the pocket, who can give you a few hundred rushing yards a year in a, you know, 4 or 5 touchdowns, let's say, on the ground, and can do it all. And you just watch his development and believe that what you're seeing right now is not the best of Dak Prescott, that eventually he can be a 4,000-yard passer and he can be a 35-touchdown-a-year guy. If the interceptions go up from like 4 or 5 to 7 or 8, you're fine with that because he's making big plays in the passing game to offset it. What you definitely don't do as a Cowboys fan, you don't get head over heels on Ezekiel Elliott because to this point, he's been the better player than Dak Prescott. If those are your two choices, okay, Dak Prescott or Ezekiel Elliott, and you're 100% going to pay one of them, you don't pay Elliott. It would be, and the Cowboys have made a lot of follies and a lot of mistakes over the years. There's a reason why they haven't won a Super Bowl since 95. There's a reason why they haven't been to an NFC Championship game this millennium. You absolutely do not give Zeke Elliott a Todd Gurley-esque contract. You don't pay him $15 million a year to tote the ball for you. And you don't do it because you would be paying for past performance and not future performance. I am convinced, and I like Elliott a lot, but I am convinced right now that we have probably already seen the best of Ezekiel Elliott. I would be shocked. I would be beyond surprised if Elliott has, you know, another 1,800-yard, you know, just a season where he sets the world on fire, averages like 4.5 yards per carry, is the NFL's leading rusher by a landslide. As we move into, for a running back, and this is crazy to say it because he's not Frank Gore, he's not in his 30s, but we're already moving into the stage of Ezekiel Elliott where you feel like there are diminishing returns. And for the running back that's getting to 26, 27, 28 years old, and if you give him a contract extension, you're going to be paying a premium for those years. You don't do it. Look at already the Rams. We watched this play out in the playoffs last year. They were without 100% Todd Gurley. They put a slob in at running back, a guy who didn't look in C.J. Anderson like he was going to the gym, was a maniacal worker trying to get a job, was waking up at 4 a.m., wind sprints, long hours in the gym, committed to his body. The guy looked like he had rolled out of bed when he showed up for the playoffs last year, killed the Cowboys, absolutely killed the Cowboys, was better the next week against the Saints, and was a situation in the NFC Championship game where really the Rams didn't know who they were. They had no identity or game plan, even though they had 2 weeks to prepare. But the point is, Todd Gurley was a non-factor in the playoffs. They got to the Super Bowl without Gurley being at his best. Now there's a report out there that they have long-term concerns for his knee, that Gurley is suffering from arthritis. And the guaranteed money, you can't get that back. You're going to pay him a ton of money over the next 2 years, $14, $15 million a year. And you had somebody literally off the street, out of bed, who gave you a reasonable, gave you a replacement last year production where there was not a big fall off between the two. So that was, I think, a lesson that a lot of teams need to look at. The Cardinals gave David Johnson crazy money. Look at what happened there. The Steelers, they got a Pro Bowl performance out of James Conner where he gave them four consecutive weeks of 100 rushing yards or more. The reason why they missed the playoffs wasn't because they missed Le'Veon Bell. It was more about a defense not living up to expectations. It was more about some of the things that were going on internally there with that team last year. So it's really a no-brainer. I don't care how much better you think Elliott is than Prescott or your doubts about Prescott and what he can achieve and what best-case scenario he amounts to in his NFL career. You never pick the running back over the quarterback. Their shelf life isn't long enough. If it means, if Dak Prescott signing means that Ezekiel Elliott leaves in free agency, that's fine. Okay, this isn't 1992 again, where your entire team and offense revolves around Emmitt Smith. You can't live in the past. Just because you won Super Bowls in your dynastic years were more because of the running back, let's say, than the quarterback, Dorsett, Staubach, Emmitt Smith, Aikman, the running back was probably the better player in the tandem. The Cowboys can't, you know, use those historical references or past performances to dictate what they do here. And I'm shocked how many people think that the Cowboys' best move here moving forward is to lowball Prescott. If he doesn't take it, let him walk. Give some of that money to Ezekiel Elliott and go into the draft and find a better quarterback. There are, if you go, this is very easily accessible. You can find articles right now that point out that Prescott's winning percentage, his interception rate, his running stats for a quarterback. There are numbers. His numbers the first 3 years of his career are better than Brady's. He's one of the most precocious quarterbacks in NFL history, and yet he barely gets credited or mentioned. It's like he's the one quarterback in the league. It's funny how it works with Prescott. He's like the one quarterback in the league where everybody else gets the credit, and it's deflected off of him. Where it's the line that gets the credit. Well, it was Cooper who gets the credit for the way the offense took off. It's because he plays with Elliott. No other quarterback in the league gets short shift or gets kind of de-emphasized like Dak Prescott. $30 million does not seem like a lot to me when you've got Derek Carr making $28 million, when you've got Jimmy Garoppolo making $28 million. He's been a winner, which is hard to say when you look at the history of the Cowboys franchise. You pay Prescott, and if that means you lose Ezekiel Elliott, well, then so be it. And I don't know how, if you've looked at football in the last 10 years, how any fan could say differently. Cowboys fan or not, if you pick a running back over a quarterback, you need to have your head examined, period. I think Jerry Jones has done a pretty good job with this team the last few years, both in the draft and in trades. And he will reverse a lot of that and blow a lot of that up if he picks Elliott over Prescott. And for some reason, fans think that's the prudent thing to do. What do you think? If you had to pick one, Dak or Zeke, which one would you give the big money to? Would you honestly pick a running back over a quarterback? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. On Twitter, at the Pony Express. That's where you can find me. You can find us on Twitter at CBS Sports Radio. Who is more important to the Cowboys moving forward, Dak Prescott or Ezekiel Elliott? I want your thoughts on that at 855-212-4227. Plus, one of the best defensive players in football walks away. Do fans have a right to complain? Does the team have a right to be upset? We will discuss that this hour. I'm Andrew Filippone. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Pony Express.
Whether you're a Cowboys fan or not, you tell me which makes more sense to the future of that franchise. Paying Dak Prescott $30 million a year. Paying Ezekiel Elliott $15 million a year. Young guys from the same draft class. Elliott was a top five pick. Prescott was a diamond in the rough in the fourth round. They took the league by storm their rookie year. got the team home field advantage throughout the playoffs, lost a nail biter to the Packers, a win in last year's postseason over Seattle. You know, the Cowboys, two out of the last 3 years here, have exceeded expectations. But now it's time to pay the piper. It's easy to construct a winner when you've got players at important positions like quarterback making a rookie salary that lets you give DeMarcus Lawrence a gigantic contract over $100 million. It allows for you to overpay other positions and build a complete team. Eventually, though, if you believe you have a franchise quarterback, you've got to give in and pay the man his money. I don't understand how anyone could look at this situation in Dallas and say, tell the quarterback to take a hike and keep the running back. The last time a team won the Super Bowl with the NFL's leading rusher, Denver in 1998, Terrell Davis. The last time an all-pro, first-team all-pro running back won the Super Bowl was Marshall Faulk in St. Louis in 2001. Team who won last year's Super Bowl, New England. Running back by committee, didn't have a 1,000-yard back. The year before, Philadelphia used four running backs, LeGarrette Blount, Jay Ajayi, Clement, Smallwood. Running back by committee, won the Super Bowl. How are the teams doing who commit big dollars to running backs? Well, the Rams went to the Super Bowl last year. It hasn't caught up to them, giving Todd Gurley money, but now I see a story that says Gurley might have arthritis in his left knee. CBSSports.com article creates long-term concern for running back status. $34.5 million in guaranteed money for Todd Gurley. C.J. Anderson was the better running back in the playoffs last year, made peanuts, was signed off the street, was on his third team that season. David Johnson, the second highest paid running back in the NFL, played for the worst team in the NFL. So where's the correlation there? Why pay a premium for running backs? It's a position that grows on trees. The Cowboys will have an easier time finding Ezekiel Elliott's replacement than they will Dak Prescott, especially if their offensive line comes as advertised. Ezekiel Elliott's a top five running back. What's Dak Prescott, a top 15 quarterback? You'd rather have the latter than the former. 855-212-4227 is the telephone number. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Frank's in Tennessee. He's on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Frank.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Hey.
You're dead on. I've been a Cowboys fan for nearly 50 years, and I don't see anybody can make the argument. Everything you said is true. You got to pay the quarterback.
Well, then why is it even a question? Why am I?
I have no idea. I can't imagine anybody. You know, the running back, like you said, the shelf life's not as long. Quarterbacks get better as they get older. Running backs slide down. Very few Emmitt Smiths out there. You know, they're going to last forever. I just hope that, and I think, you know, Prescott's second year decline was he didn't have anybody to throw the ball to. Cooper did make a difference. So if I was going to pay two of them, I'd pay the quarterback and the receiver. You know, they ought to be able to get them all signed. I just hope Prescott doesn't do, you know, what Troy Aikman did and defer a bunch of money to his.
Well, not only that, I mean, you say they should sign both. I don't think they should do that. I don't think the Cowboys should give Ezekiel Elliott a contract extension unless he's willing to take a massive hometown discount. And why would he do that? He'll find a sucker. He'll find a foolish team, a desperate team in free agency who might not have a star quarterback or might have a rookie quarterback they're not ready to pay yet who can talk themselves into giving him big money. I wouldn't do that. I think you go with Amari Cooper before you go with Ezekiel Elliott. It's harder to find a number one wide receiver than it is a number one running back. As a Giants fan, I look at it like this. If I had my choice right now, okay, would I rather have Sam Darnold and pick any, like, middle-tier running back in the NFL? If I could have Sam Darnold and, you know, now this guy comes with baggage. I was going to say Joe Mixon. But I don't like that example as much because Mixon kind of has, you know, issues. Let's say if I had my druthers here, would I rather have Sam Darnold and like Tariq Cohen as my number one running back? Somebody like that, James Conner, a guy like that, you know, somebody that's not a top 10 running back, or Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones. I'd rather have the quarterback, and I'd rather play piecemeal at running back. And I love Barkley. He's a joy to watch. He made the Giants entertaining last year, even though the team as a whole was atrocious. But, you know, you're not going to win championships building around that position. The premise for the Barkley pick was Eli is still a franchise quarterback. You already have the most important position on your team filled, but we know that's not the case. He stinks. So the Giants blew that, and we'll see if the Cowboys blow it too. I would like to think that, you know, the $30 million promise is real, and if it is, you know, is there a chance that Dak Prescott never gets better? Sure. I think you can win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott as your quarterback. I think what he is right now, if you get this kind of play for him over the next 2 to 3 years, you know, you need your defense to get better. You need to have a balanced offense. But, you know, he'd be closer to Nick Foles than Tom Brady. But I do think he's good enough to win a championship. He's not good enough to carry it at one, though. He's not a quarter, but at 24, 25 years old, you expect by the time he gets to 30, he's better. And after a really bad sophomore year, I thought Prescott rebounded nicely last season. This was a weird story earlier in the week that took another strange twist yesterday. Telvin Smith, the Jaguars defensive captain, one of three NFL players with 100 tackles last year, abruptly ends his football career, leaves the team, and the aftermath of that, the way fans have treated him, caused Smith to go on a tirade yesterday. He is barking back. We'll tell you what he said. I'll tell you who I feel about it. You can give us a call and give me your 2 cents at 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227 on Twitter. At the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can follow us at CBS Sports Radio. Big shout out to all the moms who are listening today. My mom instrumental in getting me into sports, so I'm thrilled for those of us who still get to celebrate Mother's Day with our moms, the lasting effects they've had on us as not just sports fans, but people in general. And I'm blessed to still have my mom and really excited to talk to her later today. So here until 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific.
This is the Pony Express.
I think being a head coach for this long, I mean, you know, things come up that you don't expect, you know, and you kind of learn early on your first year, probably when you're head coach, that, you know, you got to expect everything. So, you know, I just look at it as more so, like I said before, my immediate reaction was the football side of it's out. What can we do to make sure that we're here to support and help the player?
That was Jaguars coach Telvin Smith reacting to his star linebacker's abrupt retirement, which has led to fan outrage with the Jaguars. I'm not sure if outrage is the best word, but Smith, and I can't confirm this because his Instagram account is private. Maybe that changed in the last few days here, because Smith took to Instagram yesterday and posted a picture with a caption that just obliterated fans who I guess have crushed him for his decision to walk away from football. Smith gave no specific reason for why he was doing it, but implied that there was more to life than football, and said in this most recent post that, you know, if you were attacking him, you needed to get a life. You basically needed to come up with better things to do with your time than to go after a football player who was spending time with family now, who was giving up the game. But I think that there is good reason for both the fan backlash and also the Jaguars, who have been really kind of terse and short with their response to this news. There was no congratulatory good luck with retirement, we really wish you the best rhetoric from the Jaguars at all on this. And I think they've got a right here. And if I'm a Jaguars player, if I'm Doug Marrone, the coach, if I'm Tom Coughlin, the czar of the organization, if I'm even a fan of the team, I'm ticked off. I'm ticked off over the timing of it. If there's a paper trail or proof that Jacksonville knew this was coming, that this had been alluded to earlier, and Telvin Smith had given Jacksonville the heads up, like, look, I'm probably not going to play football this year. Don't hold me to it. I'm not 100% on it yet. But there was some sign at the end of the year that he was ready to give up football. That's one thing. I don't have any indication or clue that that's what happened. And based on the way the Jaguars have reacted to Smith's retirement, I'm guessing that there was no proper notice given. There was no 2 weeks, so to speak, here. The timing of it should irritate the Jaguars and their fans. This is not a special teams player or a reserve linebacker. We're talking about someone that you build your team around. Someone who is a fulcrum point, who's a kingpin to what you do. And when that guy says, after free agency and the draft, that he doesn't want to play football anymore, that leaves you in a lurch. There's nothing you can do about it now. If you're Bill Belichick and you've won 6 titles, and you're making $12.5 million a year, and you're widely acknowledged as the best coach in football history, you'll probably, through your own football savant-like abilities, you'll find the next Telvin Smith, or you'll be able to make things work on the fly without him. Doug Marrone is not Bill Belichick. He doesn't have that kind of job security. He doesn't have that kind of clout. He's a guy that could have easily been fired after last year with the way the Jaguars completely blew up. The team disintegrated. The way guys like Jalen Ramsey and Leonard Fournette behaved, he lost control of that team. They believed in their quarterback, who was a flop. Bortles stunk. Doug Marrone could have been on the unemployment line. So he's really singing for his supper this year. He's on the hot seat. It's the hottest seat in the NFL. And now one of his best defensive players gets up and walks out of the room. I'm sorry, if I'm the head coach, what Marrone did there with reporters, I give him credit for. He bit his tongue. He said the politically correct things. That's not what I would have wanted to do in that spot. Put yourself in whatever team you root for. You don't have time to find a replacement in either the draft or free agency, and one of your 2 or 3 best players says, I'm done, I'm out. You can be considerate. You can understand that there are things going on behind the scenes, but that doesn't mean you're not allowed to vent or emote or feel some kind of way about a player doing that at like the 11th hour. I remember a few years ago, and this got a coach fired. Ricky Williams quit on the Dolphins, and it was much worse than this. Gave up football a few weeks before the start of the season. Dave Wannstedt was kind of left hanging out to dry, twisting in the wind. The team stunk. They were awful. He gets fired. You build a team around that type of player. Leighton Vander Esch, Darius Leonard, and Telvin Smith were the only linebackers in football last year with 100 tackles. That's it. Three guys. Total tackles. You can look it up. And now you lose that guy. He's a captain. He's supposed to be one of your team leaders. Your team was coming undone at the seams last year. It was a total joke. They behaved like, you know, a TV series football team that is just destructive and distraught. It was like playmakers reincarnate in Jacksonville last year. And now one of your best players says, sayonara, I got to worry about other stuff that's going on. Football isn't the biggest thing in the world for me. Look, when you give a guy $50 million like the Jaguars gave Telvin Smith, you think he's going to show up for work. We've all been in a situation where maybe somebody has had a good excuse, but they called in at the last second and told you, hey, I can't come into work today. I got a flat tire. Hey, I can't come into work today. My mom's sick. And okay, legitimate reason, but you're swamped. You're up to your eyeballs in something. You got a million things that need to be done, and now you're shorthanded. You're ticked when that happens because of how it affects you. Because now your job, your responsibility just got that much harder. And if you're a fan, okay, you know what, Telvin Smith? You made millions of dollars to play football. If a few people are upset at you or angry because you're walking out on them with really no advance notice, the Jaguars can't with the seventh, with a top 10 pick. You know, maybe if they knew better, maybe if they knew about this, they would have moved up and taken Devin White. Or maybe instead of Josh Allen, who I think will be a good player. But maybe now at that spot, at seven, they take Devin Bush instead of Josh Allen. Or maybe they trade down a couple of spots and take Devin Bush nine, let's say, and get an extra draft pick on top of it. There's all kinds of things. You take one in the second round, a middle linebacker. It creates a gigantic hole on your team, and it seems to everybody in the football world, you know, when the Adam Schefters and Jason LaCanfora reported this story, it's not like, well, we all knew this was going to happen. It was the worst kept secret in football. Telvin Smith doesn't want to play anymore. It took everybody off guard. It came out of nowhere. And I think when you kind of get stuck there holding the bag in front of everybody, you've got a right to be upset. Yeah, you're a season ticket holder. You spend money on Jaguars games. You're trying, you're hoping that you see a better product this year. And then one of your best players quits. That's what it is. He's quitting. He's not saying, I'm done with football for life. I'm never going to play again. He's saying, I don't want to play football right now. That is quitting. When you're under contract and a team is counting on you, that is quitting on a team. You commit to something, like on a Mother's Day. That's something my mom would say, look, you're not allowed to do that. They're trusting you. They're counting on you. You can't sign up for piano lesson. Well, that's a bad example because it's not a team sport. You can't sign up for soccer and after one practice say, I don't want to do this anymore. It's not fun. You can't. When you sign up, you play. We don't have eroding skills. We don't have diminishing skills. We don't have a major injury here. The Jaguars thought that they were going to come back in 2019 and have a team that was built on defense with Nick Foles, and maybe they still will, But this is a gut punch for them. And, hey, I don't know how vile fans got. I don't know how personal they made it. Smith is really upset. But, hey, man, it comes with the territory. When you pull a stunt like this after the offseason, now we're in the dead season of the NFL where roster moves don't happen. They've all been made. It's that little mini vacation, that little breath you can take before training camp gets underway and team building exercises and really getting your team ready for the season. When you get to this point, you're really, as an NFL team, past the point of no return. It's like an injury. It's like a guy gets hurt. It's tough to prepare for that. It's tough to get over that, and that's where Jacksonville finds themselves. And frankly, I can't blame the organization if they're angered by it, and I can't call fans out and say they're being too sensitive or they're going over the top here when a guy says, oh, you know what, I don't feel like playing football anymore. You say family, and because somebody says family, it's hard to criticize the guy. If I knew all the details, if there was really a life or death situation, then I would retract and take back everything I'm saying right now. All of it. But we don't know that. And no one has reported, like, look, this guy has got a really, really, really good reason to not play this year. All right, coming up next. I am a guy right now who is still watching Game of Thrones, but I'm not loving it. I'm not enjoying it. I'm going to stick it out till the end, only two episodes left. But the kind of exhilaration and excitement I used to have for the show has evaporated. And I'm watching my favorite show blow up the same way I'm watching the career of one of the greatest professional athletes of all time disintegrate and kind of explode and blow up in a very similar fashion. And I want to discuss that with you next on the Pony Express, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.